Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house this morning and just experience you in such a precious way, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here, that your Holy Spirit is here to facilitate the word. I thank you, Father God, that it's not about my words, but it's about your words in my mouth, Father God, that will go forth today, Lord, and that will be a blessing unto every heart, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you are the sweet spirit here this morning and that we can experience you and that we can feel you. It's tangible here this morning, Lord. And I just want to speak it over us again and again, Lord, just your peace and your rest and your comfort, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you know every heart here this morning. You know what every person is going through, Lord. The people on the left, the people on the right, the people in the front, the people in the back. Each and every person, Lord, you know their circumstances. You know where they are at and what they are going through, Lord. There's nothing that is hidden to you this morning, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that I can just speak, Father God, your peace and your rest over every heart here, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, band. Good morning, everybody. It's my privilege to be bringing the word this morning. I think they unleash me once every year. You only hear me bringing very harsh offering messages. So hopefully this morning, the word will, it was just incredible during an intercession. Somebody was saying that we were just praying for God's peace and God's rest. And that was really what I was feeling in my heart. And the word that I'm going to bring this morning is a little bit of a follow on of, let's say, part two. Last year in October, I was sharing on, you know, what are you busy with in your life? So I really just trusted the Lord, you know, and I myself, I'm in my own personal life, I'm on this journey. God is just incredibly faithful, like he is in all of our lives. But it's just an incredible journey that I've been on maybe for a year and a half, even 2 years now, where I reached a point where I told God, where I cried out and I said, I'm just tired of, you know, just allowing life to cruise on and just to go by. You know, being in an incredible comfort zone. You know, and a comfort zone is not always a financial thing. A comfort zone is not always a family situation, but it's really a place in your heart and a place in your mind where you sometimes latch onto something. You know, for some people it's substance abuse. For some people it's finances. For some people it's an unhealthy relationship. But, you know, you find yourself in a comfort zone. And I just said, God, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. So this morning, I'm doing part two, and maybe in 2018, they'll allow me to do part three. I don't know if I behave well this morning. But it's really a privilege. I just want to pray. Lord, thank you that this word is not my words, but it's your word. And I pray that it will really pierce hearts this morning, Lord, that it will bring a division between bone and marrow, like we've heard this morning in intercession, Lord, that it will really crack the hard nuts and the hard hearts, Lord. And we all have situations in our lives that we try to hide, that we try to run away from. But this morning, Lord, the message that you've given me, I pray, and I know is a message of hope and a message that will inspire. And I pray that our hearts will be ready to receive that in Jesus' name. The scripture, by the way, you'll see I'm not going to do a PowerPoint presentation because I'm very bad at sticking to what I'm supposed to be saying. So the first scripture that I want to read, if you have your Bibles, James 4 verse 14, reads as follows. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And the title of my message this morning is, For What is Your Life? And we're going to be talking about purpose this morning. So like I mentioned in my previous sermon, I was talking about, you know, what are you busy with? Where are you in your life? You know, what is God dealing with you? You know, are you where you're supposed to be? We were looking up at things like, you know, what is your calling? And I said, and I know a couple of people frown, but I said that, you know, most of us struggle with these questions. What is my calling? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, am I here for a reason or am I just, you know, passing time? And I said that your calling is actually very simple if you read the Gospels. Your calling is quite simply to be like Jesus. And you know, we sometimes try to complicate purpose and destiny as well. And this morning, hopefully, I will simplify, you know, what your purpose is in life. And then maybe, you know, in future, I'll be able to talk about destiny. But quite simply, your calling is to be like Jesus. And hopefully, we'll see this morning that purpose, you know, we try to make it complex. You know, if you look at different definitions of purpose, you know, very simply, I was just going through Google this week. And the simple definition of purpose is really the reason for which something or someone is created. You know, why do you exist? That is your purpose. And you know, to be very honest, very few of us actually have the answer to that question, if you're really, really honest. Because I want to put a couple of thoughts before you this morning. You know, when you speak to people and you ask them, so, you know, what is your, especially young Christians, older Christians as well, and even people that are not Christians, you know, what is your purpose? What is your destiny? You know, I'm here to do this and I'm here to do that. Well, this morning, if you don't know what your purpose is, I want to put your heart and your mind at rest, because purpose is not what you do. It's about who you are. Your purpose in life is not to do something, but to be somebody. Your purpose in life is not to do something, but to be somebody. You know, if you can answer the why question in your life, you know, it's the Lord will break it open to you. And I'm not going to give you a five-step, you know, there are many books on that. But I'm not going to give you a five-step plan to find your purpose this morning. I really want to encourage you and inspire you to push on, to give you hope. You know, I've got my testimony is that, you know, while I was growing up, I experienced intense rejection throughout my whole life, in my family, at school, etc., etc., and struggled with incredible low self-esteem and a very bad self-image. And my road of recovery is still going on, and I'm still working through that. It's 20 years later now, almost. And every now and then, I still struggle with that rejection. Every now and then, I still struggle with, you know, why am I here? Reason for being. But you know what? Through that struggle, God has been very, very faithful to me. And He has actually taken me and repeatedly just enforced it in my heart that I've created you for a purpose. And so it's been a long journey of mine to really make sure that I know why I'm here. Because a lot of us go through life and we know what we do, and we know how to do it, but we don't know why we're doing it. And you know, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a mother of seven children, or whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. But the question is, why are you doing it? And very few of us can actually answer that question. For what is your life? Stand back and evaluate yourself. Just for a minute. Just think about it. You might be 15 years old. You might be 115 years old this morning. It doesn't matter. Because we have heard so many stories of people that on their deathbed have said something so profound that has changed the world. So whether you're young or old, young in heart, young in spirit, old in heart, old in spirit, it doesn't matter this morning. The question this morning for all of us is, why? What is your life? Are you happy with the things that you have achieved in your life so far? Fantastic. Who said that? Who said that? Fantastic. Hallelujah. Somebody is awake. We were. I think it was 2 weeks ago. A couple of us. We were at a marriage weekend of excellence, and I knew that I was going to preach today. And there were a couple of things that were said that were so profound. So, you know, I put one or two of those lines in my sermon this morning, but they were talking about people and the greatest regrets that they've had in their lives. And they did a study, and you know, a lot of things were said, but the greatest regret that was mentioned in the study is that people wished that they had the courage to live the life that was true to themselves and not a life that other people expected of them. To live a life, to have the courage to live a life that is true to yourself. But you know, for you to be able to do that, you need to answer the question why. And then somebody else said, this really shook me, and it just sort of, you know, underlined. And then I knew that, you know, the word that God has given me for this morning was really what I needed to preach on. That there was a lady that said, and I've known her for a long time, she said, people get bored in their relationship with God. You know, people that have walked the road with the Lord, they counsel many people. And she says, the funniest thing is that people that walk a road with the Lord for 30 years, 40 years, at some stage in their walk with the Lord, they get bored. And their walk with the Lord and their relationship with the Lord becomes unfulfilled. And they start to do all sorts of funny things and say all sorts of crazy things. And so, after she said that, I wrote it down. And over the last 2 weeks, I really asked the Lord. So, when she said it, it was like an arrow to my heart. And I asked the Lord, why does that happen? Why do people reach that stage in their relationship with the Lord? And he simply said, because they have no purpose. And we'll talk a little bit later. We're going to talk about purpose versus passion. And I'm sure I'm hopefully not offend, but I'm going to, maybe God will just change your paradigm. You know, purpose versus passion. But we'll get to that just now. I don't want to run ahead of time. But the crux of the matter is that, like the lady said, that people get bored, people get unfulfilled in their relationship with the Lord because they have no purpose. There's no intimacy. There's no connection with the Father heart. And the crux of the matter is that if we are not in Christ, if our purpose is not in Christ, you know, we will reach a stage where we're going to be unfulfilled and where the relationship gets boring. You know, think of any, you know, anybody that has dated somebody at some stage, if there's no purpose in that relationship, the relationship ends. If there's no destiny in that relationship, the relationship ends. And that's where a lot of us are in our walk with the Lord. My second scripture that I want to share with you, Ephesians 1 verse 11, I read from the Message Bible. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. Isn't that incredible? That God had a plan, has a plan, many plans for our lives. But the great thing is, and what we see here is that it's not about you. Your purpose is not about you. And you know, once we start to understand and once we start to realize that focusing on ourselves is not the answer to our purpose, but focusing on God, because we were made by Him and we were made for Him. And once we understand that, then only will purpose and the whys in our lives start to make sense. Like I said, I struggled for a very long time with rejection. And the Lord had to show me exactly this, that I was created for a reason. I was created for a purpose. Because I had no reason, I had no purpose. I woke up in the morning, I was sharing a couple of weeks ago as well, my early days at university, you know, got involved in substance abuse. And my self-esteem was so low that, and this might shock some of you, I had to take 3 shots of whiskey at 8 o'clock in the morning just to have the Vuma to go to class. I wasn't a bad student, but you know, that's how bad it became. And it's not about drinking a lot of alcohol, because most students unfortunately do, but it's really having no reason for living. You know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that are sitting here that might have a similar story. Maybe it's not rejection. Maybe it's a different form of abuse. You know, maybe it's a different form of hurt in your heart. And you have allowed the devil to tell you that your life has no worth. Your life has no purpose. Let's just get this 60, 70, 80 years out of the way, and then, you know, maybe I'll just buy the skin of my teeth, I'll just make it into heaven, and then everything will be okay. You know, the devil is working on that little thing in your heart, and he's telling you consistently over and over and over that you have no purpose. You have no sense of being. You have no reason for being. And it's something that, like I said, that I've been working through for a very long time. But the important thing is this, that you have a choice. It'll either kill you or it will propel you into the purpose that God has for your life. And that is a question, and that is a crossroad or the T-junction that we all face at some stage in our lives. Sometimes we face it even more than once because you might fall back into whatever trouble you've had. Maybe the burdens are just too great, whatever it might be. But you have a choice that it's either going to kill you or it's going to make you come alive, and it's going to propel you into the purpose that God has for your life. I want to read three scriptures to you quickly that has really helped me to see that God has a very specific purpose for my life. And before I read them, I just want to reiterate what I said last time. For those of you that weren't here, like I mentioned early on, I said, you know, your calling is very simple. It's to be like Jesus. And then the second thing that I mentioned last time is that you have one purpose in your life. One purpose. Some people say, no, there are many purposes. No, one purpose. And we'll see that in Scripture just now. But God has many plans and many seasons where He will expose certain opportunities so that the purpose that He has placed in you can come to fruition and can bless people around you and, you know, can grow inside of you. And that's where we sometimes get confused because, you know, we get fuzzy between calling and purpose and destiny, etc., etc. Purpose is very simple. You've got one purpose, and we'll talk about that just now, but I just want to sort of lead you into that. But you have many plans. God has many plans to show that purpose in you. And that's where a lot of people feel, they feel like they're failures in Christ because there was a situation, there was an opportunity, they failed, and then they think, well, I've missed my purpose in life. You know, and especially to the older generation here this morning, while I was preparing, and especially this morning, I really just felt in my heart, and I've said this so many times, especially to the older generation, you know, and age is not the issue here, but you have so much to give. You have so much experience, life lessons that God has taken you through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we need to learn how to share that out of a healthy place, out of a good place. And hopefully this morning, as we're going to be talking about purpose, it will just give you a sense of release to come and talk about the hurts that you've had in your life, the failures that you've had. You know, there are young men and women in this church that need to hear your story so that they don't make the same mistake. And in that, God will show you your purpose. You know, like I mentioned, we have this wrong idea in our head, and that's what the world teaches us, is that my purpose is something that I do. It is wrong. It is who you are. God has created you to be somebody, and in that, we will find our purpose. The three scriptures that I want to read to you, the first one is Romans 8, verse 28 to 30. And this is really just to enforce the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Many plans, but a purpose for your life. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Purpose. One. One purpose. Doesn't say purposes, it says purpose. John 15, verse 16 reads, "You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." Again, it just shows you that God chose us before we even knew about Him. And then 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for the eternal prize. So I run with purpose every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what I should, what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." That verse in the middle, "So I run with purpose every step." And if you haven't answered that question to yourself in life, you know, why am I in this race of life? What's my purpose? Then it's going to be a very grueling and very long race for you to complete. You know, God uses the simple things and the small things in our lives to teach us really the profound depths of His Word and of His character. And I might have shared this before, but I really want to just, you know, I struggled for a very long time, especially when I got saved, especially in the Pentecostal charismatic churches. It's very easy to learn about Jesus because during the process of salvation, you know, we hear a lot about Jesus. Then, you know, the emphasis moves to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and operating in the Spirit and doing all these things. So for me, it was very easy in the beginning to relate to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. But I really struggled for at least the first 15 years of my saved life to really connect and understand God as the Father. It took my little girl, Mika. God used her to unlock the treasure of God the Father in my heart. And through that whole process, I realized that, you know, God wants to use so many different situations to really unlock certain truths in our hearts. Sometimes we miss it, but you know what? God is faithful and He will bring it back to us. And I think, you know, in that I learned that we sometimes look at our lives and we think, you know, this is just an ordinary day. But in your ordinary day, God wants to do extraordinary things. And if we allow Him and if we open our hearts, you know, for Him to show us and to teach us in the little things like your baby girl or the people at your work, you know, to just unlock certain truths in our heart. You know, for us, stepping into our purpose and stepping into the whys in our life is so much easier. The next scripture that I want to share with you is Matthew 6, verse 33. And this is really, you know, just taking one step closer to why we are here. And it simply reads, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Seek the kingdom of God above all else. It talks about a single-mindedness. It talks about a focus and a commitment to God and to His kingdom, not to our kingdom. You know, I said it before as well. If you ask most Christians to write a list of priorities, they will start and they will put God and His kingdom or relationship with God first. Then they will say family, then friends, maybe work will be somewhere in between. But God only has one list, and it says kingdom. Seek the kingdom above all else. And the kingdom of God and seeking the kingdom of God above all else, that is really the foundation of our purpose. It is not our purpose. We're not there yet, but it is the foundation of our purpose. Because if anything and everything you do in life, if it doesn't point back to the foundation, which is the kingdom of God, those actions and the things that you do, they are absolutely futile. Again, from our own life, and I mentioned a little bit earlier that I was going to talk about passion. You know, I've seen in my life, in my walk with the Lord, I got saved in 2000, I think, so that's almost 17 years now, more than 17 years now. And from my own experience, I know myself, I know my personality, I get excited very, very quickly. You know, they say, let's go on missions. I'm like, yes, let's go. You know, we need somebody for this. Yes, let's do it. But from my own life and exposing myself a little bit, but, you know, that's part of the message this morning is I know that I get excited very, very easily, but I don't have the follow through. I'll be the first one to lead the charge, but I very seldom will finish, you know, the project or the outreach or the whatsoever. And it was something that really started to annoy me in my own life. You know, getting very excited, getting all worked up, but then just fading away. And I had to sit with the Lord and I had to ask, but God, why is this? Why do I get bored? Why do I lose focus? And this was the seed that really started me, you know, just delving into this whole thing of purpose and, you know, understanding why am I struggling with this. So I was sitting on a plane one day flying up to Johannesburg, and this is where the whole thing of purpose really started to unlock in my heart. So if you're wondering where we are, I've just finished my introduction. So I'm actually going to start now with a sermon. That was just background information. But I was struggling with this thing, and it really started to annoy me. You know, I thought to myself, you know, I go to church, you know, I actually, a little bit of self-righteousness for the first 10 years of my life, being in Stellenbosch, you know, studying there, doing a post-grad studies and working there. You know, I spent probably the first 10 years of my saved life in Stellenbosch. You know, so you get exposed to, you know, lots of sermons, lots of teaching. It's really a great place for a young Christian to grow up. But in this, get involved, fade away. Get involved, fade away. Get involved, fade away. And it really started to annoy me. And it's taken me so many years to come to that place where I could actually understand why that is. And so I was sitting on the plane, and I subscribed to a newsletter from some guys in America. And, you know, it's one of those, you only read it once every 4 months because you get so much other nonsense. But this wasn't nonsense. And the title really captured my spirit. And it basically said, purpose prevails over passion. And so I'll share a couple of thoughts with you before we go into the next part of the sermon. Why purpose is so much more important than passion. And as I read through this article, I was just like, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. Because if you understand, like my story of rejection, I was always seeking, and that's why it was easy for me to passionately get involved, but then over time fade away, because it traced back to my rejection issues. And for you, it might be something different, because I never really, truly, and honestly answered the question, why am I here? What is my life? What is my purpose? Because you will see as we go through this section now, passion will lead you, and it will get you excited, and it will take you into circumstances, and it will take you into opportunities. But it's not your passion that's going to carry you through. It's your purpose. And a lot of us, you might sit there and you might realize that for you, it's very much the same as it was for me, and sometimes it still is. That your passion carries you, but it doesn't take you to the end. So the part of the problem is misunderstanding what passion truly is. If we define it properly, passion is a seizing impulse that overpowers all other things. If you have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. If you have, you know, people that work in your company or in your workplace, you know what I'm talking about. There's always somebody that wants to run with the project, and then halfway through the wheels come off because they haven't defined the goal or the purpose for the project. But they run off passionately because it's a great idea. You know, let's do it, let's change it, and I'm that person. You know, the quicker we change, the better. But halfway through the first process, I want to do the second and the third and the fourth process already. And I've learned from this that passion will only take you a little step of the way. So passion is a seizing impulse that overpowers all other things. Passion drives you zealously forward without hesitation or consideration, without counting the cost. And interestingly, if you go and look at definitions of madness, it's quite similar to what I've just described to you. So I think I had a signature under my email once that read something, you know, following the inner voice with, you know, great passion. And, you know, some people that hear their inner voice and follow their inner voice, you know, but they become crazy, but they also become legends. And I thought to myself, I think I changed that recently. But you know, that was the reason why I put it there, because it was so much who I was. It's not who I am anymore, because I realized that my passion will only take me half of the way or a quarter of the way, but it will not take me all the way. Because ultimately, your passion will fade, leaving behind weary people, empty of energy and results. And that I have seen, not just in my own life, but especially if you work in a big corporate company, or you're in a big corporate office or an environment like that, you often see people that are passionate about projects. You know, things need to change, but a lot of those projects actually never happen, or they never get complete. And if they do, you know, you leave behind a lot of weary and tired and broken people. And sometimes in our relationships, it's like that as well. Purpose, on the other hand, is what will keep you going, regardless of your passion and your energy. It is not a mere excitement that passes with a new dawn, but it's a sense of destiny that comes with a defined goal to achieve. Purpose grants foresight, while passion can become frustrated by circumstances. See, and this is where I realized in my own life that because I didn't understand, I knew that God created me for a purpose, but I didn't know what it was. So I constantly became excited to be a part of something and to do something, but then as that passion would fade, you know, I will fall back into, you know, feelings of worthlessness and self-resentment. Because your passion will be swayed by circumstances. If it goes well, your passion is high. If it doesn't go well, you know, it's a little bit different. Where purpose pushes through all of that, it allows you to look beyond the here and the now and to the completion of the goal and the satisfaction of the job that God has placed in your heart. Purpose advances the goal, where passion just fuels the excitement for the goal. It's like creating hype. Passion is all about hype. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with passion. Somebody said to me the other day that, you know, if you don't have a passion in your life, you know, then, you know, what are you doing here? And I was thinking specifically, well, you know, passion is not a bad thing, but purpose is so much more important. It's just sort of tongue in the cheek, just to illustrate two stories that I want to use to illustrate the whole thing of passion versus purpose. You might be one of those people. We've all been there. You know, you come back from the December holiday and your belt is, you know, you need to move it, you know, one button up or two buttons up. You know, it was the holiday was just too great. You know, we've all been in that place where we vowed to live healthy, to lose weight, to get fit, to exercise. They say about 7 to 8% of people that start on a fitness program actually finishes it. That's ridiculously low. And the simple reason for that is that most people that start out saying, I want to get fit, I want to lose weight, I want to do this, they don't have a defined goal. They don't have a purpose. They are just passionate because they know it's the right thing to do. But there's no clear definition. There's no clear why. And so they never complete the task. When your purpose is set to allow you to make decisions, or your purpose is set to allow you to make decisions that will fuel and drive your goal. You know, a lot of people, again, just set off, like the example that I've just used. They set off, they want to do something, the passion takes over, but there's no purpose, there's no drive. And purpose keeps you focused. Purpose prevents you from being thrown by circumstances. Passion, on the other hand, is volatile. It creates spikes of energy and emotion, and it disrupts everybody around you. Where purpose keeps you steady, holding you to the defined plan of action and tranquil to resolve it. Another example that we all know is the story of the tortoise and the hare. You know, perfect example of purpose versus passion. The tortoise knew exactly what he wanted to do, knew exactly what he had to do to get there, and slowly but surely, knowing where it's going to end, driven by purpose, reached the goal, reached the end before the hare that was just driven by passion, you know, running as fast as he can, but never reaching the goal. I want to use an illustration of one of my favorite characters in the Bible to talk a little bit more about purpose. And that's the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the description or the definition of some of the Bibles, you know, says that Nehemiah was a genuine leader, an excellent administrator, and a man of prayer. And I mean, that is something that we all aspire to be, especially on Father's Day. But what was more important is that He had a single-mindedness, a focus to fulfill that which God has placed in his heart. We read in Nehemiah 1, verse 3 to 4, the following. They said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. And in this we see that there was an anguish in Nehemiah's heart. There was something that fueled him, not just passion, but there was something deeper that drove him to this place of despair, this place of anguish where, you know, he sat down for days and couldn't move. And the reason why I find the story so inspiring is because a lot of people think that Nehemiah's purpose was to go and rebuild the wall. And I sat and I prayed through this. And I want to ask you that question before I give you the answer. Was Nehemiah's purpose really, was his purpose in life really to rebuild the wall? If you remember what I said in the beginning, our purpose is not to do something, but to be somebody. And as I meditated through this while I was preparing, I realized that we sometimes look at the story of Nehemiah and we think his purpose was to rebuild the wall, but that wasn't his purpose. That was just one of the plans that God had for him to fulfill his purpose. I truly believe that his purpose was to lead, to motivate, to encourage, to act with integrity. All character traits in that situation, in that plan, to build God's kingdom and not just to build the wall and the walls of Jerusalem. And like I said in the beginning, you know, we must realize that God has many plans and many seasons in our lives, but only one purpose. And that's why I realized that I always was just drawn to the story of Nehemiah, not because he was a cupbearer, not primarily. You know, I love all the cupbearers in the Bible. They're good people. For those of you that don't know my profession, ask somebody. It's a little bit of an inside joke. But what I really love about him is if you look at the circumstances that he faced, you know, leading people, encouraging them, you know, building on the one side, fighting on the other, being courageous, operating in integrity, never standing back. You know, when people came and told him that, but you can't do this and you'll never do that, he just persisted in his heart and in his task that God has placed, that God placed before him, for the simple reason that he understood his purpose in Christ. And like I said, his purpose was not to rebuild the wall. His purpose was to lead, to motivate, to encourage, and to operate in integrity. And so when I sat and I meditated through that, I realized that your purpose in life is not what you do, but it's who you are. And I realized that in Nehemiah's life, being a leader, being a motivator, being an encourager, it's something that inspired people around him because he knew in his heart that his purpose was to be a leader. There might be women here that might wonder, what is my purpose in life? It's to be a mother. And it's not being a mother because you're raising the kids, etc., etc., but it's because you are laying foundations in your kids' lives that will change nations. Or you might ask, why am I a teacher? Why am I a winemaker? Why am I a businessman, businesswoman? Why? It's not what you do. It's who you are in that. Like I mentioned earlier, that God uses the ordinary things in your life to do extraordinary things. And so I've come to realize that if I understand my purpose, my passion will follow the purpose. It should not be the other way around. And so I'm only now starting to discover what my purpose is. And that's why I love the story of Nehemiah, because that's what I believe God has called me to do, is to encourage people. And it sounds, it's if you speak to people and they ask you, what's your purpose in life? And you say, it's to encourage others. They're like, loser. Just, don't you have anything better to do? Or it's to lead people. Really? Wow, that's inspiring. But if you go and think about it, that means in every situation that you face, you will lead. That means in every situation that you, dire circumstances, you will encourage. Or you will inspire. And so the list goes on and the list goes on. And I've realized that I keep playing this over and over and over and over in my head. It's not what you do, but it's who you are. In those circumstances, like I said, God has many plans. God has many seasons to propel you into your purpose. And if you know that you are supposed to inspire, if you know that you are supposed to operate in integrity, if you know that you are supposed to encourage, if you know that you are supposed to love, if you know that you are supposed to comfort, in every circumstance, in every situation that you find yourself, God will take an ordinary day and He will make it extraordinary. You will wake up in the morning and you will think, oh, I must, you know, you wake up, so I wake up many mornings and then I'm like, oh, this guy is on my heart or that couple is on my heart. And then I just send them a, you know, how's it guys? Have a great day. Simple things. Then 3 weeks later you hear, yo, that was just so, it was divine that you sent us that message. I'm like, huh? And I realized through small things, simple things, that it's not what I do, it's not how I perform that is my purpose in life. It's being consistently good in every situation. Through that, my purpose in God will propel and will drive me and will inspire and it will fuel the passion and it will make it easier for me just to operate in that purpose. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Because we so often get it the wrong way around. We so often just want to run ahead, you know, be in the front, be in the band, be the preacher, be the MD, be the CEO. We want to stand up front and, you know, we want to do all these things. But this morning I want to say it's, your purpose is actually quite simple. Because in being consistently good, if you understand what your purpose is, being consistently good, God will use your purpose and every ordinary day will be extraordinary. You might not see it, but the people around you will know. The people that need to see it and that need to experience it and need to feel it and need to receive it will receive it. The simple act of kindness, the simple word, the simple WhatsApp, the simple prayer that you pray that nobody knows of, but it changes a life on the other side. That is our purpose. It's not to do all these great things. That comes later. But that's not the reason why God says continuously in His Word that He has created us for a purpose. And I find it very liberating. I've completely lost myself in my sermon, but I'm enjoying myself. I think it's so liberating when you get to a place where you can answer the question, God, why am I here? You know how much pressure it takes off your shoulders? You know how much pressure it takes off your shoulders when you realize you don't have to perform? When you realize you don't have to do all these things? Because that's not God's requirement of us. He wants us to be specific in your purpose. And so I want to encourage you, and I mean, hopefully it won't take you 15 years like it's taken me. Hopefully this morning, you know, it just stirs something in your heart that says, you know, God, I want this pressure off my shoulders. This world that constantly tells me that I've got to do something to fulfill a destiny and to have a purpose. I want to tell you this morning, stop. It is not that complicated. God has given you something very simple that you can use in your ordinary, everyday life to change every day into an extraordinary day. That is your purpose. And that's the thing that you've got to find. That's the question that you have to answer. Because that's the why. And I realize as I'm walking in this and as I'm experiencing more and more freedom, it's incredible to see how it impacts the people around me, the people at work, my friends, my family, because I realize I don't have to perform anymore. I realize I don't have to jump through hoops and, you know, blow fire and all sorts of things to perform anymore. I don't have to do that because that's not my purpose in life. My purpose is very simple. And as I'm discovering this, I get excited to see how God can use me and how my ordinary days will change into extraordinary. In closing, I want to read, maybe a little bit controversial, but hey, such is life. One of my favorite people in the Bible, and hopefully after the first million years of just worshiping, I'll get a chance to sit and have a conversation with King Solomon and all his wisdom and philosophies. So I'm going to end off with a scripture from Ecclesiastes, which is a very difficult word for Afrikaans guy to say. But here goes. So I'm reading from the third chapter, verses 9 to 14. And I want you to close your eyes while I read this. Carmen, any band, you guys can come up so we can have some nice music in the background. But before I read this, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think of what I'm going to say now. Don't get to the end of your days and realize that you've spent your one and only life chasing the wind and being swayed and being driven by distractions. Don't get to the end of your days and realize you have spent your one and only life on distractions. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 9 to 14. What do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on all of us. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of their labor, for these are gifts of God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or taken away. God's purpose is that people should fear and revere Him. So this morning I lay it down before you. Why has God placed you here? What is your life? What is your purpose? Purpose is not about what you do, but it's about who you are. Your purpose in life is not to do something, but to be somebody. To live a life that inspires, to live a life that gives hope, and to live a life that encourages people, and that people will see that your ordinary life is extraordinary. Lord, this morning, I want to thank you that you have created us all for a very specific purpose, and one purpose only. And this morning, Lord, as we ask the question, what is my life? Why am I here? Not what am I doing or how am I doing it, but why am I here? I pray, Lord, that you will bring a very specific freedom, Lord, and just a release in all our lives, Lord, so that we can know that we don't have to perform. You have not created us to perform, Lord. You have created us to be. You have created us to be something very specific so that ordinary days can be extraordinary. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us this morning that passion will only get us so far, but it's the purpose in our hearts, Lord, that will propel us. And it's the purpose in our hearts that will help us to advance your kingdom. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that if there are some of us, Lord, that really just struggle with our reason for being. If there are people that are really struggling this morning with the why in our lives, whether you are young, whether you are old, I'm not going to call you forward, but I really just want you to acknowledge that you are stuck in this place of not knowing. You're stuck in this place of not understanding. You haven't realized, you haven't received the revelation from God directly, not via me or another preacher or another sermon, but directly from God, why you have been placed here. But I want you to raise your hand, not to acknowledge to what I'm saying, but to acknowledge to God so that God can come and deal with you in your own very specific way. So I'm going to just give a couple of seconds for you to just respond to the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you that our purpose is not supposed to be complicated. It's not supposed to be difficult. It's not supposed to be this enormous task that lies ahead of us. Lord, it's something very, very simple, but something that's very specific to who you have made each and every one of us to be, whether we are young, whether we are old, Lord. And if, Lord, as you see these hands, I pray that you will come. And maybe in some people's lives it will happen instantaneously. In some people's lives it will be a process of showing them, Lord, what their purpose in life is. But Lord, you see these hands, you see these hearts. Lord, you know the anguish. Lord, you know the heartache. You know the resentment. You know the fears. You know the uncertainties. You know about the insecurities. Lord, you know all these things. But this morning, you come, Lord, and you look past that because you know that each and every one of us, with our troubles, with our insecurities, were created for your purpose, for a purpose, because we are all part of your master plan. And so, Lord, as we just enjoy the gentle presence of your Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are just dropping into people's hearts the answers to their questions, the answers to their uncertainties. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and that you remove the yoke and the pressure of the society and the times that we find ourselves in where it's so performance driven, but that we can just sit back and know and rest in the knowledge of Christ, in Christ. We all have our very specific purpose for what is your life. For what is your life? I'm just going to ask the band just to perform just one song, just to stay in this attitude of worship. I don't want to do an altar call because I believe that God deals with us all very specifically, especially with regards to this. But if you do want prayer, I'll be here in the front. If there's anything else that you want us to pray for, we are glad to oblige and to pray for that. Otherwise, go and have a fantastic Father's Day. Bless the dads in the house. Make them feel special. And be blessed. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.